Our scripture for this morning is in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20. I suppose many of you are familiar with this story. James and John came to Jesus with their mother, or so it tells us in another. Here it says they came together. Yes, it's in Matthew. She came with her sons and had this request. Lord, my sons, I want one of them to sit on your right and one on your left in your kingdom. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? And interestingly enough, they right away thought they were able. We are able. And of course, we know that they were not able in themselves to do this. What does that mean, to drink the cup? Any ideas on that? Are you able to drink the cup that I have to drink, and I'm going to drink? Any ideas?
Suffering?
Very good, yes. In the Old Testament, the cup is often the cup of God's wrath. And we know that Jesus drank that cup for us. Jesus calls it my cup. Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath. And we don't have to drink that cup, because in Christ's suffering we have undergone judgment for our sins. For me, he died. For me, he lives. And everlasting life and light he freely gives. My hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me. As we often say, it doesn't mean for my benefit, although it is for my benefit, but it means in my place. He gave himself instead of me. He went into judgment. He took God's wrath upon himself for us. And yet, it is a privilege. All the followers of Jesus who loved him, that we read about in the Bible, who really loved him, who were filled with the Spirit of Christ, they counted it a privilege to be identified with Christ in suffering. Remember in one place in Acts, they went away rejoicing after they were mistreated and mishandled, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name's sake. Well, John and James were not ready for that yet. In fact, they fled. They ran away when things got tough. They all forsook him and fled. But oh, how bold they were after they were filled with his Spirit. We are able. We are able. We think we're able, but we're not able. And it's good for us to realize that. I once heard a minister saying, as he was preaching on the greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. He said, I never kept that commandment. I haven't kept that commandment. I've been serving the Lord for, I don't know how many years, longer than probably any of us. He was an older man. He said, I have never kept that commandment for 5 minutes. And there's only one person who ever did. And he just was of course, the command is there, and it's there so that we keep it. And it's right for us to strive. I was just talking about this before, about human striving and how vain it is. But why does God put these commandments there and kind of invite us to, you know, give it our best and give it our all? I think he wants to show us that it's futile if it's in our own strength. And in fact, he's awakened a desire in us. That's true. And otherwise, we wouldn't even want to try. But then he shows us that it comes from him. I think that was said last night or sometime, that he loves us and therefore we love him. And that was with that guy who came, wanted to fight with David, Amasai, I think was his name. We read it last night.
Thine we are. We're on your side. But it was when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him that he was able to give that response. That response of love and devotion and commitment and allegiance. So it is with us too. Praise the Lord. How we thank God for awakening us and quickening us and giving us grace and giving us love so that we can fulfill the commandment. And then he works in us to purify our hearts, to cleanse us from all these other things that would draw us aside from the one thing that's needful or necessary. He cleanses us. He purifies us that we might love him. Well, here we see something. This was self-seeking. We want this place of honor. I want this for my kids. Maybe I tell a little. Maybe I should. Well, here I started. When my oldest. Don't go and tell him. When my oldest child turned 20, I was searching the scriptures for something to give him. Father's heart full, you know. And I came across Matthew 20:20. I was looking for a 20:20. And I found Matthew 20:20. And I gave him this story. And I thought, what could be better than this story? This mother wanted for her two sons something very precious and wonderful as she saw it. Wanted to get ahead of the rest. I think parents like to see their children excel, right? Maybe you've made your children study and you got very upset when they didn't get 101 and they got 98 or something. Instead of saying, that was great. No, it wasn't good enough. We want the best. But this is the best. This is the best. Identifying with Christ. Having him work in our hearts to cleanse us and purify us from self-seeking. Elaine Nelson was playing over the loudspeakers yesterday. That was Elaine Nelson playing those songs, and she started playing "Oh for a Heart That Is Whiter Than Snow." And one line that I started singing with her, she was accompanying me in the room. Nobody else got to hear this. One part says, cleansed from self-seeking and pride, washed in the fountain of Calvary's tide. And that's something that we can pray for every day. Lord, cleanse this heart of mine. Let my heart be pure and clean for you. Help me to love you with all my heart. Do it in me, Lord. Work it in me. Fill me with your Spirit. Let your Spirit come upon me today. And then I will be as close to Jesus as I can come. Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave." And then he gives the example, the great example, our example. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." He came not, as we read in Mark 10, it's the same passage, not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life as a ransom for many. Now it had to be fair. And when the second son came to 20, this came back to me. "You didn't learn it yet, Father, you know, perfectly. Be stirred again, give it to the second." I even gave it to my daughter. It seemed like the right thing for when you turn 20 years old. And I hope that as a family we are learning these lessons, and I trust that you are blessed to consider it today. To Jesus is our great example, and he calls us to follow him. And for today, our staff reading,
I hope this is a blessing to all of you. It comes from F.B. Meyer's writings. Whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Would God that it might be given us to believe that Jesus meant this. We all know what the character of a faithful servant implies: devotion to the master's interests, thoughtful study and care to please him, delight in his prosperity and honor and happiness. To many of us, it has been a new joy in the Christian life to know that we may yield ourselves as servants, as slaves to God, and to find that his service is our highest liberty, the liberty from sin and self. We need now to learn another lesson. Jesus calls us to be servants of one another. And as we accept it heartily, this service too will be a most blessed one, a new and fuller liberty too from sin and self. At first it may appear hard. This is only because of the pride which still counts itself something. If once we learn that to be nothing before God is the glory of the creature, the Spirit of Jesus, the joy of heaven, we shall welcome with our whole heart the discipline we may have in serving even those who try or vex us. When our own heart is set upon this, the true sanctification, we shall study each word of Jesus on self-abasement with new zest. No place will be too low, no stooping too deep, no service too mean or long, if we may but share and prove the fellowship with him who spake, "I am among you as one that serves." Here is the path to the higher life, down, lower down. This was what Jesus said to the disciples who were thinking of being great in the kingdom. Seek not, ask not for exaltation. That is God's work. Look to it that you abase and humble yourselves and take no place before God or man but that of servant. That is your work. Let that be your one purpose and prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Holy to be what he wants me to be, every moment of every day, yielded completely to Jesus alone, every step of this pilgrim way, just to be clay in the potter's hand. Second verse, trusting my Savior, whatever he does.